everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10 cast preview here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. My name is Mike Bloom. Try not to trip over my words because I've been saying All Stars 3 for the past 6 months at this point, but the drag race marches forward, the parade is passing by, and we are along with the ride to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10 premiering this Thursday, picking right off where All Stars 3 left off, and we are doing that as well with our official cast preview for the upcoming batch of 13 new queens and one returning one. First, let me welcome in the panel who's going to be here every week to break it down. First, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm good. I'm super excited. We have people who I think are going to be amazing lip sync assassins. We've got Instagram beauties. I'm really pumped for season 10.
Brent, are you similarly pumped?
I am as well, because I want to get the stench and the stink of All Stars 3 out of my mouth. And I think this is the perfect cast to do it with.
Yeah, we're going to lay our kissers on season 10, who's smelling nice like she just got out of the shower outside of the trash queen that season that All Stars 3 kind of ended on, unfortunately. If you want to hear our thoughts about All Stars 3, by the way, and you haven't checked it out yet, we did a 2+ hour podcast breaking down that extremely controversial finale, to say the least, as well as our overall thoughts on the queens and the season. So be sure to check that out. It should be in the same feed as this podcast. But before we get into it, and we're going to try something new here. Usually with the seasons, we just sort of do an overall preview. But of course, here on Reality TV Wrap Ups, everything is more fun with a draft. And since Taryn Armstrong is nowhere to be seen, it's truly anyone's game here on the RuCap. So we're going to actually be doing a draft for the 14 queens, and then we'll sort of parse our conversation into each one of these queens. But overall, Brent, looking at this cast and doing some research into who they are before coming into the competition, do you have any overall thoughts about them?
Yes. I was laughing at the fact that you said doing research. I'm like, me? Do research? Oh, yeah. But I actually did do some research about these queens. Listen, a really, really fun cast, I have to say. Led by Eureka, coming back from season 9, who looks altogether fabulous for season 10. A lot of queens who I think realize the value of RuPaul's Drag Race as not just a contest, but a platform. It's like Trixie Mattel said after her win for All Stars 3, that it's just the Drag Race is just the beginning. It's just a jumping off point for what your career could be. I feel like all of these queens are aware of that, and they're treating the contest. You know, obviously, a lot of the interviews that we're seeing after the fact are, as I said, after the fact. So the show's already done and taped and in the can, and they know the results, or they know who at least maybe the top four is. And they're speaking about it in such a way where they really want to get all the followers and fans and coins that they can. And I'm here for it because they seem fun.
Oh, my gosh. In terms of the talents that I think a lot of these queens bring, I think there's a really diverse group here. And there are people that the instant I saw them speaking on camera, I was like, I love you. And there are people that instant they started speaking on camera, I was like, I do not like you. And that's really great because that makes for a diverse cast, and it may, you know, gives them people to root for, root against. And I think that this cast is going to bring it this season.
Yeah, I will say to that point of being diverse, I mean, even from outside of an ethnicity perspective, you know, we do have 5 queens representing the current winning city of New York, but I feel like they all come from different backgrounds that none of these queens really blend together for me, which makes things really exciting because now you have 14 unique points of view. So just to talk about a little bit of the research that I did and that I sort of, you know, got you guys in on as well. So I personally watched the Meet the Queens videos that were up before the season started on VH1.com. I watched the Sasha Velour Facebook Live that aired after an episode of All Stars 3 that was done, as Brett mentioned, after the show to preview the season. So, you know, people can try to read into body language or the tones that they had, but it was an interesting sort of before and after. And I was very lucky in that a friend of the show, Mike Block, has a great podcast called Block Talk. If you're a fan of theater in New York, or if you're a fan of the drag scene especially, be sure to check that out. He knows his stuff. He sent me a bunch of miscellaneous videos of the queens performing in their various capacities, which I found essential. Because, like Liana said, I mean, there were some queens that I didn't get a great first impression of. But once I actually saw them in the moment doing what they're paid to do, I gained a much better opinion of them, which makes me excited because it makes me realize that maybe these videos and the first looks that we get with them are not necessarily going to be indicative of the cast we're going to see. I felt like that was the big case in season 9, where there were some queens that, you know, we weren't necessarily... Trinity Taylor is a great example, where, like, I was pretty low on Trinity going into the season, and then she became probably my favorite queen of this season. So, personally, I am really excited to preview this cast. Did either one of you do any additional research from that?
No, that was pretty much it for me. I will say that I watched most, but not all of the videos, so I'm intrigued to see basically who turned your opinion around from what you may have initially thought of them as far as the Facebook Live goes. And I'm also really intrigued to see who is my Trinity Taylor. Who is the one who I really don't like now, even after watching their videos or the videos that were sent to us, and they go on the show and they just absolutely kill it. Is there going to be anybody like that, Liana?
I mean, I'm sure there will be. I'm just, oh my God. New cast seasons always just get me so pumped. But I just want to say that was how I picked Peppermint as my winner. Like, her video, I thought she was personable. But then when I watched her performances, I was like, you slay, queen. And obviously, I mean, she made it to the final two with that lip sync battle. So I love watching the performances, seeing the drag queens in their element. I mean, obviously, RuPaul's Drag Race is now so much more. But I think with kind of going back to almost this emphasis on lip syncs, I think that the performance quality is really important for queens to succeed.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know we'll get into the drafts really soon, but, you know, we just saw season 9 end with this rule change of how they were going to do the final four and do this big lip sync showdown extravaganza. Do we think that the queens are going to have that in mind now moving forward? I know that they're not eliminating each other. This is not an all-star season, but do we think that this might sort of change their mentality and how they are gearing up for the idea of the lip sync? Or do we think that this might change how the show is sort of gearing up for the lip syncs, that they're going primarily for people who are the best performers in that capacity?
I mean, I would have to think so. This filmed in last fall, right?
Yeah.
So after season 9 had already aired. Yeah, I mean, if you have seen the show, which I assume all of these queens have, then you would know that there could be the potential for this, you know, culminating lip sync battle at the end. And so now I don't know how much that's going to permeate into the rest of the season, but knowing that is going to be, you know, the final four situation, I have to imagine that you're going to put emphasis on your lip sync performances.
Yeah. As I said earlier on the All Stars podcast finale, the finale of season 9 was so well received and such a gag worthy moment for me personally. And I know fans across the world who love Sasha Velour just absolutely killing it with that so emotional number. That was literally so emotional. I can't imagine that they're not going to do it that way. They might, you know, they might twist it just a little bit. Maybe they don't have the wheel there or something like that. Maybe they seed the queens. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I have to believe that they're going to do that. Because of that, that the show is going to be cognizant of that moving forward, about, you know, who are the lip sync assassins, who are the people who can bring it. Now, I know that there are some people out there who are going to be like, you know, I didn't love that as much because it's really more about the culmination of the season and the body of work. And the thing is, I do believe that that has a place. I do think that now that everybody knows this is coming, that whoever makes it to the top four is going to be ready. And because of that, I feel like it levels the playing field a little bit. Now, I feel like in some ways that Shea Coulee really got caught with her pants down last season. She didn't really realize what she could do, I think. And I don't know if she could have beat Sasha, but I have to believe she would have put out a performance that was better than what she did. Because I think if she comes close to Sasha, if she's close, I feel like Rue gives it to her. I do feel like the body of work still helps you at the end if you can keep it close during the lip sync. But if you go out there and get slaughtered, RuPaul can't help you. And that's the tea.
So let's get into these queens. So the way that we're going to do it is we are going to do a snake draft or an Alaska draft, if you will, where we decided to pick the order is going to go since Liana won the most recent season of All Stars with her winner pick of Trixie, and then I won the most recent newbie season with my pick of Sasha Velour. We were going to go Brent, myself, Liana. So we'll go Brent, me, Liana, Liana, me, Brent, and so on and so forth until we draft four queens each, leaving two queens remaining to go to, we'll say, Allie Lasher in absentia. She'll get the remaining two queens. But along the way, we'll be sure to break it down and give all of our thoughts. So as a quick disclaimer, I just want to say that obviously all of these queens made it onto the show for a reason because they are all extremely talented in their own rights. So any shade we might be throwing out towards our first impressions for these queens has no impact on our general thoughts on their drag. We don't mean to denigrate anyone whatsoever. We're just giving our takes on how they might perform within the confines of the show RuPaul's Drag Race. Just want to say that at the top here. But with that being said, let's kick it off, shall we? Brent Wolgamott, you have the very first pick out of all of these 14 queens. Who are you going to take as the very first queen picked in this season 10 draft of RuPaul's Drag Race?
Let me say that I am vacillating between two queens. I don't have a draft board per se. I just have queens that I really, really like, queens that I sort of like, and queens that I just like girl by. So there are two queens that I really, really am looking at for a possibility as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. But there's one that really just tugs at me, and I'm going to go with that. Money Exchange, or Monet Exchange, as you might say.
No!
Yes, I just... I love this bitch. I have to tell you, I think, look, I'm going to be real with you for a second, and people may not like this, and but I'm going to be real. Since the move to VH1, they have not crowned a queen of color. They've crowned two pasty white queens. I think that if it's close, that RuPaul is going to give it to a queen of color. She's going to have to go out there and earn it, nevertheless, but I think that this is the queen that could do it. I think Monet Exchange to me sounded like the kind of queen that you just want to go and give a dollar to, because she was funny, she was powerful when she talked, she was articulate. That's the thing. RuPaul cannot suffer any dumbass queens. She cannot suffer them. She wants somebody to go out there and represent her brand. The other thing is that when she was presenting herself, she looked like a woman. She looked like a biological woman with, like, curves and everything.
Yeah, she prides herself on that.
I know she does. And I haven't seen Monet as a boy. I'm very intrigued to see, assuming that she is a boy. Obviously, we have transgender women and whatnot. But I do think that it's going to be so interesting to see what many of these queens look like when they're out of drag, per se. She seems fresh and edgy. She even describes herself as that. And I can't get over how well spoken she is. I watched her performances on the videos that you guys sent me, because all the queens I liked, I'm like, okay, I want to watch their videos. The ones that I didn't like, I was like, whatever. So that's why I'm curious to see who changed your opinion. But Monet, to me, just has a stage presence about her that is absolutely commanding. And I don't think that there's anybody out there. Well, I don't want to say who in case I get the chance to draft them, yeah. But I don't think there's many people out there that compete with that. I really don't. I think that she stands alone in terms of her ability to, she almost seems like an activist on stage. She seems like she has a purpose. She has something. She's like, I'm Jasmine Masters and I got something to say. I mean, that's basically what I get from Monet Exchange. She's got something to say. She has a point of view, like they always say in Project Runway, and I am excited to see what she brings to this season of RuPaul's Drag Race. Liana, you're bitter. You're bitter. You could have picked first, and you said, oh, no, let me give it to Brent because he always fucks it up, so let's give it to him.
Oh, yes. My God. I didn't think. God freaking damn it. Fine. Okay, Monet Exchange just immediately stood out to me. I was enamored by her. I just find her, she has such an amazing energy. And like, yes, you said, just this presence. She is articulate. She's clever. She's funny. Her story about how she came up with her name, Monet Exchange. She was like, I was eating sticky wings and I saw like a money exchange booth. Like, that was so great. And I just love, I mean, her biological woman comments were so great. And the fact that she knows who she is and she just clearly demonstrates that she has this point of view. She sort of almost reminds me of like, I mean, I get Bob the Drag Queen kind of vibes, yeah, from her.
I think she's also a sister of Bob the Drag Queen, isn't she? Like, she knows him somehow.
I mean, we're going to talk about this. There are a lot of connections amongst the New York community, okay, especially, yeah, among Monet and Miss Cracker. I mean, I saw a video of them hosting a New Year's Eve comedy show together. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays into each other. But yeah, they all sort of know each other in that regard.
Okay. Yeah, so I couldn't get over her, and her performance aspect is also on point. She just really, I think, embodies everything that I want in a drag queen, and she was hands down. I have top pick written in all caps.
Oh. Well, why didn't you take the top pick? Who did?
Well, I don't know.
I'm curious as to who you think I would have picked.
Oh, well, okay. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But yeah, But anyway, I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm so excited to see what she's going to do this season.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And Brent, speaking towards the out of drag look, because we've got a brief glimpse of it on the teaser for this season. Again, the Bob comparison warrants because she is bald out of drag, which I saw
that
something
her,
on Reddit.
Huh? Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's a trend. We've got Bob the drag queen. We've got Sasha Velour. If you count Trixie Mattel, I feel like queens with no hair have been the ones that have been taking it. So
I want to ask, there's one queen that said girl bye. And was that her or was that another queen?
I don't think
in the trailer.
I can't remember.
That was Monique Hart, I'm pretty sure.
Ah, okay. All right. I like it.
If I remember correctly.
So, yeah, I completely agree in terms of, like, her presence and her confidence. Again, I watched this video of her hosting a comedy show, and she just seemed to have a good command of everything. The one thing that I worry she might have a problem with, much like Bob kind of did, was that she says, you know, I'm a performance queen at heart. I don't really care that much about the outfits. So I wonder if it gets to a point, and this was a sticking point for Bob as well. Again, it didn't really, you know, ultimately lead to anything, maybe one trip to the bottom too. But a common complaint that Michelle had with Bob was, you know, branch out and give us something new. And I know Monet Exchange is, she works on the tube technique. That's her sort of method of sewing. But hopefully she'll be able to, if it comes to like a construction challenge or if she's asked to, you know, diversify her wardrobe, hopefully she'll be able to rise to the occasion. But other than that, I'm so excited to see her.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I mean, my only concern is that I'm going in with such high expectations. And if she doesn't deliver on those expectations, then I'm going to be a little disappointed. So I'm trying to like temper my enthusiasm. But yes, I'm here for Monet Exchange.
All right, let's move on. I get the second pick here. I'll be intrigued to see how you guys react to this, because this is someone who I was sort of like, okay to begin with. But then the more when I checked out her video with Sasha and then I looked at some of her performances online, I'm really sort of gagging on her. I'm going to take Asia O'Hara.
That was it. Yes, my number two. Yes, if it wasn't going to be a Monet Exchange, it was going to be Asia O'Hara, honey. Yep.
So Asia O'Hara, what really drew her to me was, you know, I rolled my eyes admittedly a bit at like the I'm a chameleon, you know, I can really do anything. But it is so essential in RuPaul's Drag Race, especially modern day RuPaul's Drag Race, to have a bunch of things that you can do. You know, she says essentially that, you know, drag is an ever-changing art, and so she always wants to try new things. And that's imperative, because when you're consistently asked to do new things, if you don't have an attitude of like, hey, I can't, or if you have an attitude of I won't be able to do this, then you're absolutely going to flounder. So I feel like she has a great attitude going in. I watched her video that was sent to me where she did a lip sync, and she had the most kick-ass laser mirror outfit. I don't even know how to describe it, but it was brilliantly constructed. She does a lot of all of her own outfits, so that's going to be good when it comes to construction. She's a pageant queen as well. She won Miss Gay America in 2016. She's also got Drag Race connections as well. Not only is her, she's the drag mother of the one Fifi O'Hara, but also friends with Alyssa Edwards. So I feel like, I don't know how she'll be on sort of like a, you know, comedy performative level, but I feel like when it comes to looks and competitive spirit, I feel like she has it all there.
Yeah, I mean, bitch, I just love this. I love her. I really do. I wanted to pick her so bad. I think maybe it's the pageant queen connotation that maybe got me, although I really shouldn't fear that because Eureka was a pageant queen and Trinity Taylor was a pageant queen. So, I mean, you know, they can totally kill it. And it's so funny because that's the thing that I really like the most, the fact that she is so versatile to win all these pageants. Not only, Mike, did she win Miss Gay America 2016, but she also won Miss Gay US of A in 2007, and I watched that. She also won All-American Goddess 2012. I mean, I just can't get over how well-versed, because all these different pageant systems have different things that they really, really try to accent. And the fact that she's so versatile to win all of these just really impresses me. She said she makes all of her own clothes, and she is also a dance and color guard instructor for her some people in Texas. I think her kids in Texas that she works with sometimes. I mean, that's just really great to me. That shows she can move. I watched her move in those videos, and the thing she said about how her aesthetic is Tari Mugler meets The Gap, or, you know, Terry Mugler, if you're totally American. I know, right? I know. It was a little joke there. I really identify with. I'm like, I can get on board with this. I think they did her really wrong. I don't think that that's her hair in the promotional neon videos. I think they gave her that wig on Honey. Like, they, like, they're, I don't know, maybe... They're trying to throw her under the bus or something, but
that was what initially turned me off, was like wearing this like skunk on her head.
Yes,
and then in the Facebook video when I saw her come out in this like pheromone esque you know, green showgirl outfit with this giant headdress, I'm like, okay, I feel like this is more so what you like to do.
Can I ask you? Wait, before you talk, Leona, I wanted to ask Mike, did you see when she came out and they did the, you know, bring it to the runway. And they did the thing where they're coming down and they're all like, you know, cheering for him. When she came out and she twirled around, she totally poked Monet Exchange in the eye. Like, there's a moment, you need to go back and look at it. It's about the 53-minute point when she comes out and she twirls around. Her little headpiece pokes Monet in the eye, and Monet is like trying to fix her contact for about 10 seconds while the rest of them are hooting and hollering. It made me pee myself.
Can we talk about for a second how awkward that Soul Train thing was as well? Like, they were just sort of like, they had to clap along for like 10 minutes straight, like, yeah, woo, go, as they did this weird dance down the runway. Monet also did a fantastic tearaway. I think she's the only one who did a tearaway and just threw it to the back of the set.
I liked it much better than the interviews that were beforehand with Sasha that were really, really awkward sometimes. So I was more into the, like, once they started the music, I was like, oh, thank God. You know, thank God.
Except in the music, my aesthetic is Blair St. Clair trying to clap. Like, I don't know if you noticed this, but she, like, can't. Like, she just,
does like, she have, like, a Nicole Kidman clap?
Yeah, she's like a robot that doesn't know how to go, just like was just taught how to clap. It's a disaster. But Asia was also in my top tier of queens. The first thing I saw was that promo pic, and I was like, ooh, girl, that wig, like, I'm going to throw that thing away. But then as I looked more and more at the rest of her looks, I was like, okay, this was clearly not your choice, because then going back and looking at the bodysuit, it's so gorgeous with the like sort of overgrown like ivy on both the shoulder and then on the hip. It's just really gorgeous. And when she says there are a couple queens who say that they're versatile and they're chameleon queens. When she says she's a chameleon queen, I see it. And that's something that I actually believe, that she can turn out a lot of different looks and, you know, be able to create stuff from scratch. And so if there's something that she, you know, there's an idea on the runway for the runway, and she doesn't have anything in her closet, I think she can whip something out and make something gorgeous. So I think that that's a really solid pick, Mike.
All right, Leona, you've got the next two. Who is your first pick?
Okay. All right. For my two picks, I'm going to take somebody who I believe is a relatively safe pick to go far, and then somebody who could either be really good or be really bad. So for my first pick, I'm going to take Eureka.
Yeah, I knew who you were picking there.
The thing
two
is,
O'Haras like, back to back.
So I was a little torn on her initially because, one, we've seen what she can do, and we know that she is a solid queen. Now, from what I saw in season 9, do I think that she really has the ability to win? I see glimpses of it. I do. And I see elements where maybe she wasn't so strong. But the fact that she has now had so much time, I mean, not that much time, but time off, and to start doing drag like she wants to do. And she, the fact that she recognized that she's already been out there, like the shock of Eureka O'Hara is gone, and that she needs to reach into her big old bag of tricks and pull something out. That is what I was looking for. Because if she comes out and does similar things, I feel like it's almost the like Ben de la Creme of it all, where it's like, okay, we've already seen that. Like, we need to see something more. And so I feel really confident with my pick in Eureka.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was indicative even when she pulled out in the Facebook video, which was scrolling it back to season 6. Was it Dayla actually who did the fly look? Sort of did her take on that, but I loved it, especially during the timing that it was during the fly during the part of Sissy that walks. So it was good timing on the editors there. Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, Eureka saw this firsthand, though, which I think she benefits from. She saw Cynthia Lee Fontaine come back, and I love Cynthia. She's a great personality, but she didn't really impress necessarily. In fact, you know, if Eureka didn't go home, Cynthia was lip-syncing against Pheromone. There's a good chance that Cynthia might go home there. So she knows firsthand that when a queen comes back, she really needs to turn it out. And I do think that from the five episodes we saw of Eureka, you know, she wound up in the top in the very beginning during that Lady Gaga challenge. Then I think the knee injury sort of sidelined her, unfortunately, but it seemed like she was all around between like the performing, the looks, the confidence, and obviously the pageantry really sort of helping her clean herself up and keeping herself in pristine condition. I think it's a solid pick.
You know, Liana, you found it once and you'll find it again. That's what Eureka always says. I never understood that for the life of me. And then it all of a sudden hit me that she's talking about the California Gold Rush when people say, you know, Eureka, you found it. So, look, this bitch, I just love her to death. And honestly, I agree with you, Liana. And in fact, I'm probably a little bit more positive on her than you are. I think she can win. I think that there's a good possibility that she could win. If a white bitch takes it, it's going to be Eureka. Hands down, it's going to be Eureka. I totally believe in her. I think she could have won season 9. I really do. If she didn't have that injury, she just, I loved everything about her. She was so set in that competition. I mean, totally set up to win. I feel like she had a point of view. She knew who she was. And I know she's changed her mind on that since then. But she was so hungry. That's what I remember the most about mm-hmm. Eureka from her first time around. Was not, I don't mean hungry. I'm not trying to make a joke. She was hungry for the win, honey. She was hungry for the win. I know she'd make a fat joke at this point. But I'm not going to make one because she's serving pure catfish, okay? I love it that she realizes that RuPaul's Drag Race really offers you the chance to gain all these fans. The thing that I worry, and I think we're fine insofar as who the show is cast, and hopefully Eureka doesn't, you know, Paul Abrahamian from Big Brother 19 style try to change everybody's mind about this. But Eureka seems to be aware of the fact that she maybe didn't gain as many fans as she could have. Because in her words, she's got she's more than a sassy comeback and a shitty attitude. So I don't know. I'm hoping that she just brings herself because I love Eureka. I don't know many people who didn't love her the first time around. So I'm really hoping that she doesn't like let everybody. This is what I don't want to happen. I don't want her to basically tell everybody, hey, you know, don't be the bad bitch. Don't be the one who's throwing shade. Don't be the one who has a shitty attitude in your confessionals because the fans will get down on you. I don't want that because some of the best parts of Drag Race are the, you know, the highs and the lows of it all. The queens throwing shade at each other behind closed doors and then you see it on the TV screen. I mean, that's what we love a lot about Drag Race, and I don't want that to be neutered by a returnee.
Yeah, I can see your point, Brent. And I think that I can see it, but I just really don't think that it's going to be a problem because that same competitive spirit is the one that I get back from Eureka. I think this bitch mm-hmm. is hungry and wants to win. And really the fact, you know, it's funny because we talk about like the benefits that returning players have in other reality television right. shows. I think just the fact that she's been through it and sort of mentally, you know, although she did have to deal with the adversity of her knee, which maybe, I don't know, maybe that even helps her more. Just the fact that she's been through it and can sort of mentally prepare for what is in store and what she needs to bring to the table, I think that that's also going to benefit her.
This is the first returnee that I can see winning. Yes. Shangela coming back on season 3, I thought there's no way she can win. She can get close, but she can't win. I thought there was no way of that. Cynthia Lee was a total joke. No. I love her to death, but she was a joke. Okay, I can't even believe, like, when Rue threw in that twist there, I was like, really? Like, I mean, then these queens are like, oh, well, you know, this is competition. I'm like, please, bitch, just stop. Like, you,
Brent, she is a strong gay woman.
Well, between her and Shangela, and then I think what, Trixie and Kenya Michaels, and anybody who came back
yeah,
into the competition.
Carrera.
Yeah, I think, honestly, that Eureka is the first person that's going to return to the competition that I could totally see winning. I think Rue was ready to crown her the first time. She's ready. Look, a big bitch hasn't won yet. Eureka wants to be the first one. I think she's hungry. I think she's pissed that she didn't get it the first time around, that she was taken out of the competition, and she's going to go for it. So, yeah, I like the pick.
And let me also just mention that Ali Lasher has also doubled her support behind Eureka. If you remember, she also declared Eureka her winner in season 9, which was not to be. So even though she'll end up with two other queens, she did not get Eureka sort of given to her. She still supports her on the sidelines.
Ali, we can have co-ownership. I'll let you jump on in here. Okay, so for my next pick, okay. So I feel like this queen is either going to kick ass and be amazing or is going to get eaten alive. And I am picking Aquaria.
Yep.
Because Sharon Needles is her drag mentor. She talks about the support. I know she has a ton of connections. I mean, she's a New York queen. She's from Brooklyn. She works so incredibly hard to see what she's been able to accomplish and put in. I mean, she comes from a working class background and has just clawed her way to where she is. And so I think that, yeah, there's sort of this attitude of like, oh, okay, well, you know, you are Instagram beauty, you know, can you really put, you know, really put it all together to do a solid run on RuPaul's Drag Race? And that's why, I have this gut feeling that she can do it. And I know that, you know, maybe there are some cons to her that she doesn't necessarily sew, but her lip syncs are just crazy manic. I get sort of like Aja-esque attitude from her, and I love watching her move. There's just something about it. And so the fact that she also knows how to paint and can put together some like crazy looks just makes me really high on her. And I think, you know, she is young, she's 21. And so if she can sort of, I mean, maybe her just like brash attitude, she'll just push through it, but I think she'll do decent on the season.
Yeah, I had the exact Aja-like thought, where here's someone who comes in very young, maybe not necessarily recognizing, you know, she's 21. It's pretty obvious she hasn't been doing drag for too long, so maybe she'll sort of be in for a little bit of an education. But she's one of these people where, like, I was sort of mad when her with the videos. I thought she has a particular way of talking and sort of composing herself that sort of came off like a 21-year-old, in a manner of speaking, but I saw these videos that were sent to me, basically she does the in every part of CLAT, which is the Sasha, Aja, Peppermint, Alexis Michelle collaboration, and she really turns it out in these lip syncs between the movement and the, you know, the speed that she's talking with and just the attitude behind it. So again, similar to Aja, who didn't necessarily perform well in season 9 in terms of the runways, but when it came to the lip sync, when she did Holding Out for a Hero against Kimora Black, she killed it. So from that perspective, I do see a little bit of upside to her, though I do think that Dak might admittedly be stacked against her with, as you mentioned, she doesn't really know how to sew, and her general inexperience might work against her, but I'm excited to see what she can do personally. Brent, what do you think?
I'm a little confused. I thought that she went to the Fashion Institute of Technology, so she went there and she doesn't know how to sew. What's this tea? What happened here?
I actually don't know the answer. I feel like I've heard that though before.
Okay, well, I thought she went to the... maybe we can get an answer to this. I'll look it up as we go along. But I read that she studied at the Fashion Institute of Technology for a couple of years in women's wear. She may not be a great sewer, but I have to believe she at least knows how to construct a drag outfit. She seems very high fashion to me. Obviously, that's what she puts forward in terms of her Instagram. Obviously, her Instagram, she has almost 300,000 followers as of today. I just checked earlier. I do follow her on Instagram. She's very, very fun. From Philly or just outside Philly, and Sharon Needles as her drag mother is going to serve her well. Having said that, I mean, she's going to have to be pretty fierce to be able to win the crown. Now, look, RuPaul is willing to crown a young bitch, obviously Violet Chachki, really, really young. Most of the queens didn't even take her seriously. And so there is a possibility that you're, I almost called her your query ass.
That you just gave Liana's team a new name.
Yay.
I know, right? You're Aquaria. I think there is a possibility that Aquaria could win the crown, but she's going to have to be on. I don't really think that a contestant like this can have many down days, because I don't feel like Rue. She did. Here's the thing: she sounded articulate, but she also sounds young when she talks. She sounds like a 21-year-old. And the thing about Violet was that Violet had a sense of history, had a sense of fashion, had a sense of the art of drag. And I don't know that Aquaria has that. If she does, then I think that she could go far. But if she sounds like a dumbass, then Rue's going to cut her. Let's just be real.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, in the sense of either she's going to get eaten alive or she's going to go far. If she starts getting in her head and like having those down days, I mean, I think she could be out potentially relatively early.
Yeah, but she could be more Aja rather than Violet.
Exactly. But if she does sort of, like stay focused and has on days and just is able to kill it throughout. I mean, well, obviously if she kills it, she'll go far, duh. But if she kind of sticks with what she knows and really just has that, oh my gosh, that like that line from her her video that was, "I don't define drag, drag is defined by me."
Yeah, it's just
such a stupid nonsense. It's so badass. It's so nonsensical. Sort of that attitude, I think, can drive her far in the competition.
I also love her two-tone eyelashes as well. That really stood out to me. And her Aquaria necklace and matching belt.
Yep, she wants to make sure you know her name.
All right, so I'll get the next pick here. And you know what? Two New York queens have already gone by. And as a New Yorker, I feel like I would be doing a disservice to my city if I did not choose another one. I'm going to take Ms. Cracker for my next one. Monet Exchange's partner in crime, it seems.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So Ms. Cracker is another one for me where when I saw her initially talking with Sasha, because I actually, VH1.com did a weird thing where like they didn't list her video at first. So she was actually one of the last Meet the Queens videos that I watched. But when I saw her interview with Sasha, I was like, okay. I mean, they know each other and like she came off pretty well. But once I got to know her and see some of the stuff that she did, I was supremely impressed. She is a comedy queen. I don't know about her claim that she thinks she's the wittiest queen ever. I think that's a pretty lofty claim. But actually watching her routines, she is not just a comedy queen. First off, she has moves for days. She is a hell of a dancer. She's got a hell of an outfit sense as well, a good fashion sense. She has random skills, like she's a black belt and is a national gold medalist in karate. She's been doing drag for 7 years. Oddly enough, you know, she's a close friend of Bob. She was talked into doing drag by Bob the Drag Queen. So I think that she has a lot of experience, and I think that she's got a good skill set to do really well. Mike Block informed me that she's also a pretty big deal in the New York scene, and considering how big of a pond the New York scene is, considering how she's really been able to make a name for herself in this giant ocean that is New York, I think it bodes really well for just her sense of competitive spirit as it applies to Drag Race.
Yeah, she was definitely one of the other queens that I was considering for one of my two picks. I think that she has a lot of versatility also, because I know that she says that she's a comedy queen, but yeah, I watch her performances. She's got really sharp dance moves, which are just very clean and very gorgeous to see. The fact that she is Bob the Drag Queen's daughter is also, you know, something that's in her corner. You know, she's been hyped a lot preseason.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like sort of the reason why I was like, ugh, I'm really hesitant to pick you, just because I feel like there's a lot of pressure. But, you know, I mean, she's just going in. She doesn't know any of this, right? The season's already filmed.
Right.
It's already over. So I'm just hoping that she can sort of live up to all of the hype.
I like her previous name. It was Brianna Cracker, like Brie
yeah.
on a cracker.
Yeah.
But she said that it didn't work. And I'm like, why wouldn't it work? It sounds great to me. But anyway, that's fine. She's a fellow YouTuber. I was reviewing my notes when you went to us, Mike. So that's why I didn't jump in right away. She's a fellow YouTuber who does a show. She did the recaps for All Stars called Review with a Jew, which are very, very funny. Having said that, the fact that she's out there doing that makes me think that maybe she didn't make the top four because she's looking for a new gig on YouTube. I mean, she's getting, I mean, they're like, I'm going to be real. She's getting about 80 to 90,000 views. And as someone who does slot videos, who gets probably about 10 to 15,000 views on my average videos, I mean, that's a big deal. So I like the fact that she's going after it like this. But I don't know what it is about her that makes me think that maybe she's a little bit overrated. She is 33 years old. Rue usually likes things that are a little fresher unless you're totally confident. She seems confident, but a little bit inside voice, like a little bit tricksy here, where I felt like she maybe wouldn't be as great of a performer or as great on the show as I want her to be. I did watch the video of her and was impressed, but translating that to the Drag Race stage may be a bit of a challenge for her, I feel like, anyway.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point, Brent. She did come across a little demure sort of in her attitude, and
yeah.
her claim about being the wittiest queen. Like, what I love about Bianca Del Rio is that she's sharp and loud, and that wittiness is conveyed through the tone as well. Like, it's not just the words that she's saying, but it's the delivery. And I sort of didn't really get that from Ms. Cracker.
And to speak to the viral aspect, Brent, she actually already has a video that went viral where they talked about this on an interview with Sasha, but there's this random, I guess, series of, I don't know if it's Snapchat or something, where she's yelling time for dinner in all these variety of outfits. It's weird to describe, but I encourage anyone to look it up because I thought it was really funny.
So what's the title of it? Because I looked for it on her channel. Is it, she must not be on her channel because I put them in order for the number of views, and like her highest viewed video was like 111,000 or something. That's not a ton. So was it on a different channel or what was the name of it? You know,
it's by someone named Nikki. It's the it's called Miss Cracker time for Miss Cracker time for dinner with 5 exclamation points after it. So I really liked it. There was also another lip sync that I saw her do. She called it like a pills montage, and part of it was that she lip synced to a freaking Cymbalta commercial, but she was able to pull it off. I totally get what you guys are saying about this sort of attitude. That's what sort of turned me off to her initially, was sort of the, I wouldn't say it was calm, but like almost off-putting demeanor that she had. But watching her actually perform, I really got a hopeful sense that she would do well. And this also got brought to my attention by Mike Block. Our last two picks here, Aquaria and Ms. Cracker, apparently both out of drag, they look extremely alike. Like if you blur your eyes, they will look like twins. So we'll see if they change their style enough to differentiate themselves once we actually see them out of drag in the interviews. But we might get some lookalikes here out of drag.
It's the twin twist.
Yeah. Miss Cracker and Aquaria will switch in and we'll have to see who's who.
Gosh.
All right, Brent, you're up next.
Yes, I have the next two picks, and I have about 4 people on my list who are possibilities. Gosh, there's one that I really want to go for, and I just don't know if she can win. I'm going to go with Mayhem Miller. Miller. It's a bit of a shot in the dark, but I'm firm in my belief that the winner of this season is going to be a queen of color, and she brings it for me. She won me over with her interview with Sasha. She was light, funny, effervescent. I felt totally comfortable around her. She seems to have a confidence about her. She seems like one of these queens that seems like one of these queens who likes to act like she's richer than she is, which sort of makes me laugh. She's like, you know, thank God the party is here. She's very opulent, very dynasty. And she really, really turned me out. She has a look about her that's very Grace Jones. She even brings up Grace Jones, obviously, with some hair. But she also does this, like, Alyssa Edwards thing with the, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. She did that a couple times during her interview, which also made me laugh. What did I write on here? I can't even read myself. Oh my God. Oh, she said she's basically, it feels like she's done everything in drag. She's 35 years old and she views RuPaul's Drag Race like the Olympics of drag. And so, bitch, I'm here for you if you can take it home. I'm hoping you can because you made me smile during your interview.
Yeah, I was really on the fence about her. I couldn't decide because I was trying to put them in sort of tiers.
Right.
And on one hand, when I first saw like her very first look, I was just like, oh, I mean, it's okay. It's a look. I just wasn't crazy about how dark her eye makeup was. And I felt that her outfit did look a little cheap. But then I saw more looks from her. Her entrance look is really gorgeous. And so I started feeling a little bit better. And I think also that coupled with her personality, that she was really calming. And I did really like watching her. And I think that really helps, and her performances, those I really dug. So that sort of raised her up in my mind from where I had initially put her from the Meet the Queens video.
I was completely the same in that when I initially watched her, I'm like, okay, again, I know I keep attributing that sort of attitude to this, but I'm glad that we watched more because a minute and a half can really, it doesn't really tell you anything about these queens. But her interview with Sasha, I thought that she was eloquent, and as she puts it, fun, fierce, and fantastic. Then the video that I saw, which is her decked out in gold lip-syncing to Royals, which is ironic considering the message of that song, but I still think she did a really nice job. And if that look is any indication, I'm excited to see what sort of opulence, as you alluded to, Brent, that she's going to be putting out there.
All right. Well, with the 7th pick, I also get, and I'm going to stick with my narrative, and I'm going to go with Monique Hart. Mm-hmm. So 31 years old, bitch is from Kansas City, Missouri. I like her previous name. It was Cut a Bitch Heart. And they were like, we can't be calling you that. That's not cute. We can't say, hey, Kata, come over here. So she ain't that anymore. She's Monique Hart. She seemed really, really fun. She's a fan of Drag Race. There was a question that was asked of her saying, "Can you know, what's your favorite quote from RuPaul's Drag Race?" And I'm thinking at home, like, I can't even think of my favorite quote. Like, so many of these things just happen naturally. But to have somebody ask you a question and have you and you have to come up with something, I was sort of like, but then she pulled it out. She absolutely did. I can't even remember what she said, but
she said it was go back to Party City.
Yeah, go back to Party City. And then she had another one where like it was obvious she had been watching All Stars because
I think it was a take on Kennedy's like F my drag, right?
Yeah, F my drag girl. Yeah, my drag is shit or something like that when she was talking about Milk saying she would have eliminated her. So she says that she's going to be the heart of season 10, and boy, her interview with Sasha, to me, really showed it. I think with that and her performance quality just made it something that I feel like she could ride a wave of empathy and turning out enough looks and enough stunning performances. And she seemed totally articulate in the interview as well. She was not encumbered by any shyness whatsoever. She seemed light and fun and just ready to show America who she is and take the platform of RuPaul's Drag Race and run with it. So that's somebody to me who says that they don't have anything to lose. And I'm hoping that she makes the top four, because if so, I think she's got a shot to win.
She's such a fun character in the interview. That was the sense that I got.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see her, at least from a personality perspective. And the video that I got to see, which was of her lip-syncing to Sorry Not Sorry, which had not one, but two reveals during it, I think shows that, you know, she's a hell of a performer. I think her style is going to be super interesting. She said it's old meets new meets funk meets art, which I will say, I think one of the key phrases that a lot of these queens use besides I'm a chameleon is, my style's a bit of old school mixed with new school. Like, I heard that so many times over these 14 interviews that I don't know what it even means anymore. But her her other phrase of, I'm a glam look queen on a budget, you know, I think she might be going for, like, that sort of Chi-Chi Devane atmosphere of, like, I'm going to endear the hell out of you, even if my aesthetic might not be the most glam. But I'm really excited to see her.
Yeah, I got the exact same feeling. I really, really liked her. I thought the fact that she quoted Latrice Royale in her Meet the Queens video, that just made me really happy.
Yes.
I love Latrice Royale, so I was going to be like, you go, girl. I love you already. And I think that she just has such a great attitude, and she's just so positive, and that's going to translate. I mean, if she can stick, like, continue that positive attitude, if the game doesn't get to her, you know, I think it's going to exude on the runway. I think it's going to exude in challenges, and I think that that's going to give her a leg up. And I also don't know what the old meets new thing means anymore. So I'm just going to go with the looks that I've seen, and she looks pretty fierce.
All right. I'll have the next pick here. I'm going to take a little bit of a risk because it seems like we're all taking risks here. But what's RuPaul's Drag Race without some risk? I'm going to take the Vixen next. Bitch.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Bitch, she's from Chicago. I will say
I'm from Chicago.
Exactly. That first look, the photo shoot look did not do it for me. It was just like a green bodysuit with a blue wig. But watching some more of her looks between the Sasha look, which was this like really interesting, like, yellow patterned shorts with a jacket and like a long blue wig poking through this like red and yellow visor, I thought was really interesting. She's got I looked at some of the other videos too. She had one video where she rocked an outfit made out of caution tape. And she's also can turn it out in terms of performances. She did this really fun dance to the remix of the infamous Valentina rant that Aja did. So I don't necessarily, you know, I see statements she makes like she's the superhero of the world and she's inspired by Tyra Sanchez, who essentially was able to win by being such a bitch, that I don't exactly know, you know, she might not be, in comparison to someone like Monique Hart, might not be the nicest queen there, but I feel like her aesthetic is interesting enough that I wonder if, you know, if she really hits a good vein in terms of turning out good looks, pairing that with some good performances, that she might go far. All right, tell you, give me your thoughts then. What did you think about her?
Okay. Yes. So I agree with you. I think that her performance element as a lip syncer is probably going to save her several times in the competition, because based on the wig line that is driving me crazy. Like, her hairline, it just drives me crazy. I feel like every single look I have seen is just, it's I can see her hair, and it's driving me crazy. I think that she's going to be in the bottom a couple times. I think that she is going to lip sync for her life. I think she's going to send some girls home. She's going to save herself by being an amazing performer, but I just do not think she has any chance to win, and I don't think she's super long for this world.
Yeah, here's the thing, and I'm trying to find the one she reminds me of, if I can just get to it. Oh my god. Oh, Dax exclamation point. That's who she reminds me of. Dax exclamation point, the same superhero kind of vibe that she wants to come with the cosplay and all that. I know she's into art, pop art, Keith Haring, all that, but there's no freaking way that RuPaul is going to crown a bitch with an article in her name, okay? There is no way that she's going to say the winner of the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race is the Vixen. It's just not going to, like, when you address her, you have to say in the bottom two tonight is, you know, Bob the Drag Queen and the Vixen. It's just not, it doesn't roll off the tongue. I can't even believe people call themselves stuff like this. This is terrible. Like, is her first name The? Is that what you call her? This, look, I not only did I hate the name, but I also hated her presentation with Sasha and the Meet the Queens video. Everything about it, I thought, it didn't seem like somebody who was there to win. It seemed like somebody who's there just to experience things, have a good time. I don't know that she has a point of view. I know that she seems very artsy-fartsy, but other than that, I couldn't really see much of anything. And overall, I didn't think she was very articulate as far as explaining to me what she wanted out of Drag Race or why she was special. Everything about her, to me, just screams second or third boot. Girl, bye.
I thought she had an interesting statement, though, where, you know, all the queens, I think, got asked, you know, what is drag to you? And she said, drag is the male interpretation of female empowerment, which I had never heard before. And I do agree with you, Brent, that, like, there were definitely more queens that I think were a little more cogent in her talk with Sasha. But I thought that was an interesting tidbit that, you know, I pulled out of her. So, you know, I'm optimistic for all these queens. I'm hoping that I do see where you're coming from, Liana, where, like, she could struggle and her performative capabilities might save her in a couple of lip syncs. But, you know, I'm hoping that maybe she'll be able to, you know, coast along for a little bit. And then maybe that aesthetic, whatever it may be, will get her a little bit further in the competition. But that being said, you know, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I could see her potentially being Trinity Taylor-esque. That there's just something about her initially that, like, I just feel like she doesn't have the looks together and she's able to pull it out because she is an amazing performer. That's a potential. But we'll see.
Yeah. Well, Liana, you get to finish your team out here with your next two picks. Who have you got?
Okay, so I'm just going to pick people that I liked. personally, do I think that either of these people have a chance to win? But I like them anyway. So the first person that I'm going to pick is Yuha Hamasaki.
Okay. Oh my god.
I liked her.
Oh my god. I had her 14th out of 14. Oh,
are you serious?
God. Yes, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, oh. Well, I liked Okay, well now it's my turn. I'm falling into the lake.
I'm over here laughing at both of you.
Look at this shoes on the other damn foot, isn't it?
I know some drag karma over here. I don't know. There was just something about her videos that I just really liked. The fact that she was just blunt and just kind of she also reminds me of like Gia Gunn and Bianca Del Rio had a baby. Like, that's what I keep seeing.
I'm pretty sure I saw a comment on a video where they said like Bianca Del Gunn, and I think they saw the same thing.
And I think she just has a lot of energy in performances, and she says she likes to work hard. Also, there was people were noticing that she was, you know, sort of absent for a series of time when season 10 was going to be filming. And so people were starting to be like, oh, congratulations, girl. She was like, I don't know why you're congratulating me. I was in a coma. And I don't know why, but that really made me laugh. So that's my pick.
Oh,
Brent.
My. Yeah, I look, here's the thing. I mean, if she was telling people that she was in a coma, then the coma must have lasted for about 2 days, because I'm sure she was back right away, okay? There, this has first boot written all over it. This is Serena Cha-Cha again, okay? This bitch was so annoying. I have to believe she's going to annoy the other queens. And the thing was, her interview with Sasha, oh my God, it was the most awkward thing I've ever witnessed in my, well, not maybe not in my entire life, but as far as Drag Race goes, it was pretty freaking awkward. I mean, she had no perception of the fact that her humor was not working in that environment. That does not give me much hope insofar as Drag Race writ large might be. She seemed totally un-PC and might get into trouble with a lot of the social media people. I know that Bianca Del Rio can get a little un-PC, but she kept it pretty PC for the show. And then now that she's touring, you know, she can call people a you know what. So I feel like that. I hope that this bitch gets it together, but I wasn't really impressed. And she seems like a handful, and there's no way that RuPaul's going to crown somebody like this. It just ain't happening.
I'm excited to see how she interacts with the other queens, because I feel like she's going to be our drama causer. She's the
oh,
one
yeah.
Who says,
her
like,
and,
yeah,
her
yeah.
and somebody else, yeah.
Yeah, because she says she's blunt, and she says she's very confident. She's like, you know, others might consider me abrasive, and I don't really care.
Others? You mean everybody in the world? Oh, I'm sorry.
I love her.
To your point, Brent, she did put out a video a while ago. It was a parody of Let's Have a Kiki called Let's Find Some Rice Queens, where it was like preempted and post-empted with this comment of like, look, we don't mean to be offensive. It's purely for parody. I thought her looks were interesting, especially her Facebook look, this like kimono bodice with this big geisha hair. I thought it was actually really pretty. But yeah, the interview was interesting. I'm just excited to see her on my television screen. She's going to make good TV no matter what.
Yeah, that's, I mean, definitely that's the thing, is that I just found her entertaining. And because I don't think that any of these queens that are left have a chance to win.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick somebody that I think is super entertaining. Speaking of entertaining, my next pick is going to be Vanessa Vanjie Mateo.
That's who I was going to take for the exact same reason.
I really, really like her. I mean, Alexis Mateo is her drag mom, which I love Alexis Mateo. We'll get some bam from her. the fact that she described herself as ghetto girl from Miami meets stripper pole. She said that, I was just, yes. I also thought that she looks good in all of the performances that I saw. There's just something about her energy that I found super entertaining. And I don't think she has a chance in hell to win, but I'm excited to root for her when she's still on my television screen.
Yeah, this is the one that my heart is with. Honestly, yeah. Like if I could wave a wand and give somebody the magic powers to be able to make it into the top four, this is the one I want. I mean, she seems like a blast. She seems totally freaking messy. Only been doing drag for 2 years from Florida. As you said, Alexis is a drag mom. She says that she's just, all she is sparkle, hair, and drama. So she knows she's drama. She says that she's Beyonce for people that can't afford Beyonce, which made me laugh. She had a bunch of funny lines. I'm hoping that she can stay in the competition for a long time. She's a Latina queen who really, really brings it. And she seemed totally confident. Like when I say effervescent, this bitch had it. She seemed like she walks into the room and it just lights the room up. Like people are like, oh my God, she's here. So I'm really hoping that she can make a run at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, her middle name is Vanjie because it's a take on how her drag mother cannot say Banjie. But I mean, she is pretty Banjie, but she owns it. In the video that I saw, which was her performing a Look But Don't Touch, she was giving off so much attitude. So it might be one of these cases, again, going back to like the Chi-Chi example, where she might not necessarily have the aesthetic or the budget to have these big, glamorous outfits, but she's going to show you a hell of a lot of attitude that she's going to own whatever she's wearing.
Mm-hmm. I think she's really going to put on a show. I'm just hoping, like, I just want Alexis Mateo to show back up and be like, Vanessa, I just saw Vanessa, girl. I just love them. I'm excited to root for her, you know, maybe in part because she is Alexis Mateo's drag daughter.
All right, well, Mike, you have the next pick, and you have, just to recap for everybody where we're at, the four remaining queens are Blair St. Clair, Dusty Ray Bottoms, Calorie Kardashian Williams, and Cameron Michaels. Who among those four is your next pick?
I mean, like we talked about, we're sort of reaching, I wouldn't say the bottom of the barrel, but definitely the queens that will be exciting to watch but may not have the best chance to win at the outset, but I'm still excited to watch them. I mean, the musical theater lover in me has to go from that perspective, and I guess it crosses again with the New Yorker. So give me Dusty Ray Bottoms. Why the hell not? I have no idea how she's going to do, but her saying that she's a theatrical, dark, and witchy, which is essentially what I think Thorgy was going to go for as Stevie Nicks back in All-Stars 3. It's interesting to me, and this whole dotted eyebrow thing is at least like a trademark, sort of like Sasha with the unibrow, which I remember turned Lyanna off in particular to Sasha right. to begin with, and look what happened to her. And considering that Sasha said she's a big fan of hers, I wonder if that's sort of, if she's like Miss Cracker or someone that's regarded as well in the New York City community. So again, I'm not entirely sure. From the stuff I saw, she was pretty good. There were some funny things that she was doing, but nothing really wowed me. But I think she'll bring at least an interesting aesthetic that will garner some conversation in however many weeks that she'll be on the show.
Yeah, she reminds me of the princess. Ironically, somebody else with an article in their name. Oh my God, seriously. This person looks like they are 10 years older than they really are. She's actually 29 years old, but the way she comes out and the way she talks sounds like she's almost 40. And that's not me being positive with her. Here's the fun thing. She's from Louisville, Kentucky, so she's from my area, and she seems really like a total blast. She seems like she's there just to have a great time, but it wasn't like with Monique where I felt like she's there to have a great time and maybe she won. I feel like this bitch is there to have a great time because she knows her time is short and she needs to make the most of it. So, you know, I'm not that confident about this pick. I would have gone with somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just because of the way that she looks out of drag. Just generally, she sort of reminds me of a weird cross between like the princess crossed with Thorgy, crossed with Acid Betty. Like, I don't
Acid
know if
Betty
like
was
tall,
the one that I really thought of when it, like, just because of, like, yeah. this, like, punk aesthetic is, like, very, yes. I mean, I remember, like, Acid Betty, the looks that she rocks. Like, this, it seems very similar in that regard.
I still can't believe she got eliminated. How did she get eliminated? I have
well,
no
this
idea.
Is what happens when you do Nancy Grace on Snatch Game.
It was a really bad Nancy Grace, all to right. be fair. All that right. wig was horrible. But anyway, I don't know. I didn't really know how to feel about her because I was like, okay, we've got some artsiness going on with the circle eyebrows. That's your signature thing. You're a music theater queen. You're dark but edgy. But then when I watch her performances, it's kind of like what you said, Mike. They were good. Like, she had a really crisp lip sync,
yeah,
but it was kind of boring. Like, I was kind of bored. Like, I ended up kind of skipping through the video a little bit just to see if there was anything else that she did. And so I kind of feel like that's something that we're going to see on the show. It's like, she's fine, but she just doesn't have that star quality that really grabs you.
Well, aside from the dots of the eyebrows, the other thing that I really noticed is she has, like, Dalmatian spots on her face. Do we think that was just part of the Meet the Queens look, or do we think that she's going to bring that into, again, sort of like what Sasha did with the unibrow, sort of bring that into everything she puts on the runway?
She's going to, yeah. Well, at least, so there were promos that have been put out that have been airing on VH1 for this season. And in her, there's like I saw a screenshot of her runway look from the very first episode, and she's got those Dalmatian spots on her face.
Well, I was going to say that a lot of times these queens get into funks where they'll paint a certain way for, you know, 6 months to a year. So I think it was pretty probable that she was probably painting the same way during the season. So who knows?
So she'll come out for All-Stars 4 and be completely dot-free then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, look at Kennedy Davenport with all the stuff she was gluing all over her face all season on All-Stars. She didn't do that the first time around. Oh
yeah, it's a phase. It's a phase. But that being said, yeah, I feel like Dusty's sort of like a big question mark, but I'm excited. I'll put an exclamation point after that question mark, because I'll see, at least she'll provide some interesting things to look out in the runway. Brent, you're closing out your team here, leaving the other two queens, two Ally Lasher, unpicked. You got Callery, you got Cameron, you got Blair. Who you taking?
This is so amazing because one of the queens that's still here is a queen that I was thinking about picking like 4, 5, 6 picks ago, and she's still here. I can't even believe she's still here. I have to go with Cameron Michaels, man. I think that she has a shot. I'm going to put her in here at the 12th spot with me, but the fact that she has a gimmick, I think, really bodes well for her. She's a muscle queen. She looks like a god out of drag. Yeah, I'll just tell you that. I don't really care for the tattoo around her neck. But other than that, I think that she's I'm thirsty for her. I'll tell you that right now.
So now we know the true reason for the pick.
I know, right? Look, she's not overly feminine, and she says that she's really diverse. And I really do believe that, having watched her and just looked at how she presents herself on Instagram and through the interview videos. From Nashville, Tennessee, hairdresser. I'm hoping she can do her wigs really well. She's very much Nina Bonina Brown into this sort of fantasy creature sort of makeup, and a lot into like video games and cosplay and things like that. I think that that really plays well in the modern age of Drag Race. So I'm hoping that, like I said about Monique, she can make a deep run here.
I just don't see that. I mean, I think that she does have some really interesting performance elements to her. That's probably the thing that I like the most about her. And she does sort of have like her thing of being the muscle queen. You know, she's motivated by this recent breakup. But just when I look at all of the looks that I've seen so far from her, like her icy, so this is also from the previews, but her entrance look, her episode one runway look, and then the look that she put together for the Meet the Queens videos, like those are the ones that I'm looking at right now. And I just wasn't crazy about all of them. She looks like she has a beard on her forehead, which Michelle Visage is just gonna eat her up for. I don't know. I just don't see it with her looks.
All right. Mike, what you think? Break the tie.
I mean, she definitely, I think, is probably Milk's favorite queen, because one of the videos I watched was her performing Let It Go while farting. So I know that's something that Milk's really into.
Oh my God. See, I couldn't even watch that one. I am so anti-gas. So do not ever fart around me. I'm just letting you two know. I do not like that. I think I didn't even do it around my partner. Like, I wait until like I'm in a room by myself and then I, you know, do it. Oh my God. That's moving on.
All
moving
right, Brent, I will take a note. I will not fart in your face. I'll just make sure to I'll put that down on my docket, so I'll keep a note of that. Yeah, so she's interesting to me because, like, to the point that you made before about the Vixen in terms of, like, going for this, like, sci-fi fantasy stuff, Cameron Michaels seems to be sort of in that wheelhouse as well. Not to say that it wouldn't do well. I mean, Fifi, for what it's worth, you know, even though she sort of things happen in All Stars 2, she did some really interesting stuff, especially that future of drag look. Like, that's something I'll always remember her doing. So I wonder if she brings that aesthetic to it, if RuPaul will be specifically receptive to it. But she's another one like Dusty who, you know, between the muscle queen and that aspect of her aesthetic, she's going to at least make for some really interesting conversation. And of course, I can't malign a queen too much who does a video where she plays the character of Dot as personified by Stephanie Weir on the hit comedic program Mad TV back in the day.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. I thought that actually showed more diversity. Like, that was the moment where I was like, oh, okay, like, I could pick you higher. Because it was showing something that was just so bizarre. Like, you decided to do Dot from Mad TV? Like, what? I will say I do think that she really is a performer. And when she does potentially stumble in her looks, I think that she, along with potentially the Vixen, has the potential to be a lip sync assassin this season, possibly. That's interesting, Brent, that you had her so high.
When I was doing my sixth and seventh picks, I was considering taking her. I really did. If she had any color in her whatsoever, I probably would have. But considering she's a white queen, and I really don't think that they're going to crown three white queens in a row, I was like a little bit more dubious of her. But the fact that she has not a point of view, but she has, from her drag, a point of view. The whole muscle queen thing sort of did it for me. And I'm like, I could see Rue sort of playing with this sort of motif of a drag queen. And, you know, if she performs in a way that allows her to stay within the competition, I can see Rue keeping her around for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she actually does have a lot of color. It's just in her tattoos.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's talk about the two queens that we did not end up picking. Let's start with Ivy Winters. I mean, Blair St. Clair, Indiana girl, 22 years old. She fancies herself as a Broadway baby ingenue with a bit of a flair. Liana, what did you think about Blair?
I just really didn't like her. I just thought that she was awkward. I mean, when watching her performances, she just wasn't electric. And there were missteps in her lip syncs. Like, she didn't have all the words. And that, to me, was like an immediate, oh, no. Oh, no, no. You know, especially, I don't know if I'm having flashbacks of, like, Valentina not knowing the words. Like, there's a little bit of that in there. I think she's just, like, she kind of reminds me a little bit of Pheromone-esque. Aww. Just like, aww. I mean, she says she can dance, act, sing, so I mean, at least she has that in her corner. So it is possible that she'll be able to rely on that, but I just wasn't particularly impressed by her energy.
Yeah, I got to say, if you're 22 years old, you've got to be fierce. You've got to come out there and just command the room. I think Aquaria does that. Obviously, Aquaria is 22 now, but she was 21 at the time of the taping. If you're somebody who is like barely legal insofar as drinking and being on the show goes, I feel like you really have to come out there and command the space. And she just didn't for me. Also, the shade that Sasha threw, I don't know, maybe unintentionally at her at the beginning when she was like, and they let her out this time.
yeah, because for those of you that don't know, I believe Blair St. Clair violated a DUI court order that she had to stay in Indiana, which she broke to compete on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes, and if Blair St. Clair is the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, they are going to go live to Indiana to crown her. I can see it now, you guys. But to me, she seems like a wannabe Jinx Monsoon, and she ain't.
I'll be intrigued to see what she does. The performance that I saw was her lip syncing to a Marilyn mix, aka a medley of songs from Smash. And while there were some lip sync misses, like you said, Leona, I thought from an acting perspective, at least, she was sort of good at emoting that stuff. You know, she is a Broadway actress, or a Broadway wannabe actress. Her style is, she said, 1950s, 1960s retro Broadway queen. Reminded me a little bit of a Max, who was all about like, oh, my style are these old Hollywood starlets.
And that bores RuPaul. I can't even believe RuPaul puts people like this on the show because this style just bores her to tears, Leona, for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really funny. I'm excited for when Michelle's like a different hair color. It would just be fun to repeat that.
And I say Ivy Winters because I don't know if you guys saw this, but I feel like her face, especially in drag, reminds me so much of Ivy Winters for some reason.
I haven't. Yeah. Well, or in drag. Yes, I agree. I can see it there. And she comes from the same part of the country, basically. Or wait, I know that's Jay Jolie. Sorry, Jay Jolie lives around me. I see her at the clubs every now and then. So, but Ivy Winters, I don't know. But yeah, she does look very similar to her.
And we need to do a challenge. At least we need to put her in a lip sync because she has apparently 250 to 300 wigs. You better believe she's doing a Roxy Andrews times like 150 with putting a wig under a wig under a wig under a wig. Like she's gonna use it her whole collection before she leaves.
Yeah, and they're all blonde, Leona.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Well, as long as she doesn't... Was it Jay Jolie who glued them all to herself?
Yes, that was Jay Jolie, yes.
Yeah, see? Maybe she will do that.
Well, let's finish things off here with Kalorie Kardashian-Williams. Leona, what did you think about Kalorie?
Oh, God, I was so bored. So bored
right.
by her.
So bored. Yep.
I was bored by her lip sync performances. I was bored by her interviews. I was bored by her videos. She really wants to be kind. She wants people to remember her for being kind. I literally wrote meh on my notes for her.
Yeah. If a big girl wins this season, it ain't going to be her. It's going to be Eureka. I'll just tell you right now. There's no freaking way this girl's going to be the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. She's got big hair. She's tacky. Jungle print. She says she's sass, class, and ass. A little bit of Latina flair, so there's that. But I wasn't getting much fire in this interview, and Mike, I have to believe you're with us on this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a reason why I didn't pick her. I mean, I think she does have a couple pluses. She does say she sews all of her own outfits. So again, you know, we've been docking other queens for not necessarily having that skill, so I feel like that's a plus in her book. And, you know, she says that she comes across as intimidating. So maybe, again, that'll bring sort of some more dramatic aspects into it. I know, just to completely go tangential here. I know that when I said that, Yuha's going to be, dramatic. Brett, you said there was one other queen who was going to cause controversy, or not cause controversy, but cause some conflict. Who was that?
Oh, Vanessa Vangie Mateo. I think she's got so much energy. And she's like I said, I called her a messy queen. She's like the fact that she calls herself Beyonce for the people that can't afford it with the sparkle hair and drama. Like, I mean, I can't believe that Vanessa isn't going to cause problems with the other queens, especially she's young. She's 26, but she feels like she's 21. So, you know, that they're not going to like her.
I'm excited for my two tiers of picks that are like, okay, actually has a shot and potentially could win. And then my hot messes.
I mean, I'm there with you too. So let's read off the picks here really quick. So Team Brent is Monet Exchange, Mayhem Miller, Monique Hart, and Cameron Michaels. Four M's there, Brent. I don't think you realized that.
I didn't realize that, actually.
So I have Asia O'Hara, Ms. Cracker, The Vixen, and Dusty Ray Bottoms. Liana has Eureka, Aquaria, Yuha, and Vanessa. So again, you picked all the ones who end in of Liana.
Yes, Team Hot Mess is
And the ones left over that go to Allie Lasher are Blair St. Clair and Calorie Kardashian Williams.
Yeah, good luck, Allie. Good luck, girl. That's good. Yeah, you need all the help you can get.
But despite the shade we might be throwing towards certain contestants, I'm really excited to be proven wrong. I'll again go to our Season 9 draft when I, you know, Brent and I in particular were pretty down on Trinity Taylor, and she ended up again
really
impressing. And so I'm really excited to see which queens will prove us wrong, what the queens will do out there. I'm just excited for a new season of RuPaul's Drag Race. This is the first time we're seeing new queens since what, like July, August? So it's been a hot second.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's been a hot second. I was saying about Trinity Taylor that I heard that she was giving out party gifts or something to her fans, and I was like, oh, she must sound like a total bitch on TV. I was half right. She's definitely a total
shade.
Bitch on TV, but people loved her so much. So yeah, she's one that just I did not see myself liking her, and then I was sort of in a space where I was like, okay, I like her, but I think I'm the only one who does. And then I was like, oh my God, everybody else does like her. So, you know, and I love the fact that RuPaul addressed it at the finale, where she was like, you know, early on, your approval ratings were low. And Trinity was like, I guess I just kind of have a resting bitch face, you know? And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of it.
So let me talk a little bit about the premiere, since we know a bit about it. And, you know, Liana, I know you've been doing some research into this as well, so correct me if I'm wrong here. So it looks like our first guest judge of the season is going to be Christina Aguilera, which is going to be incredible. It's tough to really outdo Lady Gaga's appearance last season, which might be like one of my favorite premieres ever. But I'm excited.
Lady Gaga is canceled.
But I'm excited to have Christina on personally.
Yeah, well, it's funny because she walks out and she looks just like Pheromone.
Yes! Oh my God, yes!
It's like, oh, they brought Pheromone back to judge. Yes, girl.
And I also know I believe there was a picture taken for Entertainment Weekly. Do they bring back a bunch of, to celebrate, you know, 10 seasons of Drag Race, they bring back a bunch of previous players, right?
Yes, like Jiggly and Jinx and Nina, and I can't remember who else is there. I have a list for you here somewhere, but
Katya, Trixie,
yeah,
Porkchop,
Porkchop.
Oh yeah,
Morgan,
here we go.
Adore.
Yeah, Delta James, Adore Delano, Jinx Monsoon, Morgan McMichaels, Manila. And Raven, obviously, they're doing hair and makeup. Or Delta and Raven are doing hair and makeup. Derek Barry, Yara Sophia, Tempest, Jessica, all these people were invited back. Trixie, Bob, Raven, Jujubee, Kimchi, Kasha Davis, Jiggly, Laganja, Stranja, honey, Chad Michaels.
Okay.
I saw her in there. Pandora Box, Mariah, Darian Lake, Alyssa Edwards, and then... that's it. Yeah. Everyone else is everyone else is a personality. I think Alyssa Edwards, I think Alyssa's coming back not as a part of the, you know, the people just rooting them on. I think she's actually part of the challenge,
which makes me excited.
Isn't she doing like the choreography or something?
Yeah, but I didn't think it was for the first episode, but I could be wrong. She could be in the first episode. I don't know.
Yeah, I think she makes a future appearance, which makes me really excited that she like. She's a personality that deserves just her own sort of challenge to be around. And I think that Todrick has really stepped up as choreographer, but if they bring in Alyssa Edwards to be choreographer for the entire season, I would be over the moon.
I'd be over the moon. Oh, I'd be great. Oh, God, give us that, please.
Yeah,
please,
take
so
that
easy.
Over the Divas Challenge, stepping up choreography, my butt.
Well, I mean, but we just saw Kitty Girls, and we just talked that up in terms of choreography. So you got a good one and a bad one. Let me read off some of these other guest judge names, though. And, you know, if you don't want to get spoiled by these, feel free to tune out for the next, like, 2 minutes or so. But really, when I saw this list, I am just so, so excited for these people to come on. We have, besides Christina Aguilera, Shania Twain, Lena Dunham, Halsey, the Broad City pair of Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer, Kate Upton, Billy Eichner, Kumail Nanjiani, and Emily Gordon, the people who co-wrote/Kumail starred in The Big Sick. I have no idea how Kumail Nanjiani is going to do on RuPaul's Drag Race, but I'm really excited. Super excited for Padma Lakshmi of Top Chef to come on. Courtney Love, Nico Tortorella, Queen Audra McDonald.
Queen Audra, six Tonys, bitch, bow down.
Oh, so good. Ashanti, Logan Browning, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Carrie Preston, Andrew Rannells.
Yes, bitch. Book of Mormon. Yes.
Miles Heiser. And finally, Lizzo, a rapper and singer. So,
and supposedly, oh, sorry, Cheyenne Jackson and Andy Cohen are going to be in the episodes, but they're not going to be judging. They're just going to be like the Lisa Kudrow thing, or they're gonna, somehow they're going to be involved. Anything that puts Cheyenne Jackson more on my television, I'm all for.
Oh, I'm sad that he got demoted. I feel like he did a great job in the fairy tale challenge last time.
He did do one, but hopefully they just take his shirt off for the next one. That'd be good.
Yeah, he'll start flexing with Cameron Michaels. He'll do a muscle off.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm there for it. Yes.
This is such a crazy list of guest judges. I mean, from drag will never be mainstream to this, I mean, that's just amazing.
I love that Padma is on. I love it because she's so fucking gorgeous. She's so amazing. I mean, she's just sex on a stick. I'm sorry, she is.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of getting to interview her in person, and it absolutely radiates. I will say that.
Yeah, it does. Oh my goodness. I mean, you know, I am a gold star gay. I've never been with a woman in my life, but she is just. You can just feel it when she's on the TV that she just has that energy about her. You know, there's just no other way to say it. Just to be clear, I'm not thirsty for her, but I can feel that other people are thirsty for her.
So you have like a respect for the thirstiness.
Yes.
You're like, I'm good with my drink in the corner, but I appreciate the fact that you are thirsting for that drink.
Yes.
But I feel like All Stars 3 in particular hit a really good streak of guest judges. So I'm hoping that streak continues. This list looks absolutely badass. And so I'm excited to see how they're utilized moving forward. I'm just so excited for this season. I cannot say this enough. Between getting to talk over these queens, maybe, you know, including the ones that maybe we're not necessarily too pumped about, I'm just excited to continue to have Drag Race on our screens, especially considering the way that All Stars 3 ended. I'm ready to sort of like start over with RuPaul's Drag Race Prime and get to stuff that we know, the tried and true formula, though of course they'll probably throw some twists in there. But I'm so excited to get to talk with you guys until like May or so. It'll be like five straight months of Drag Race, but I couldn't think of a better group to talk about it with.
Sounds good.
Yay!
All right, so if you want to follow all of these guys on Twitter, Brent is at OneLuckyGay, O-N-E, Lucky Gay. Liana is at Liana Boris. I am at a Mike Bloom type. Check out all the stuff that we're doing. Brent is covering Big Brother Canada en masse. Liana is doing the Saturday updates for Big Brother Canada, as well as the RHAP B&B, a Survivor podcast with myself. I do Exit Press for Survivor. I do SNL podcasts. I do some American Idol podcasts. There's all that stuff to check out, so be sure you do. And let us know your thoughts about this cast as well. If you have a team that you're supporting, if you have a particular queen that you're supporting, I am so excited to see these queens grace our screen and grace a new workroom along with Christina Aguilera starting this Thursday on March 22nd. So I think that's going to do it for this recap. I'm excited to see how these 14 queens are going to take to the main stage starting this Thursday in perpetuity, but we'll leave it there for now. We'll catch you back next weekend, continuing on with our regular schedule as we move on to cover season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race. Thank you all for listening. Brent, Liana, great work as per usual. For now, you may sashay away. Bye!